This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM that goes out on a Wednesday evening to the world and makes us the most listened to car radio show in BFM. I'm joined in the studio by the man with the news, Mr. Arif Roos. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, Richard. Hello, Daniel.
And over there on the phone lines is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Hi, Daniel.
Hello, gentlemen, and hello, listeners, and thank you for listening in again to the number one radio show in the nation.
We have a show for you in three parts today. Interesting lineup. We've got some news from BMW, Kia, and Hyundai. We've then got some stuff from Mazda Pro on a new car review. We're doing the Honda City 1.5 iVTEC, and then we'll be talking about Windows films and protective films, because Daniel is interviewing David Lee, the CEO of
Jasa Sarjana.
There you go. Yeah. So Arif, you want to kick us off with what news have you got for us, Mr. Roos?
So, news from BMW. There are a few, the first of which, obviously, is the big one that everybody's talking about in the car world, and it's the new, all-new iDrive system, and they're calling it, creatively, iDrive 8. Easy to understand branding, you know?
Yes.
In the presentation, they mentioned a specific want to create an emotional connection with the driver.
Okay.
And they aim to achieve this with a lot of artificial intelligence over-the-air updates, so it's constantly updating itself. It's got a very responsive talky-talky thing that knows what you mean when you say, hey, BMW, play my favorite music. And apparently when you do that, it will take into consideration the time of day, the type of traffic that you're going to, and it will suggest a library of music that it thinks you might like, basically.
Okay.
So very interesting. The technicals, it's still got a rotary knob, typical of BMW, and it's now placed on some fancy veneer with what looks like some holographic thing, but really it's just veneer covered with glass and touch-sensitive buttons.
It does look cool, though.
Yeah. Thoughts, Daniel?
I think it's a smartphone and a tablet and a home theater system all put into one. This is perfect for the next generation of car buyers. But old guys like me, where do we start?
Right.
How do we work this thing, you know?
Yeah, that's the way of the world these days, isn't it?
Yes.
But you get in and you say, start.
Yeah. I remember 20 years ago when we first saw the BMW iDrive system, the version 1. And we took a little bit of time to learn it. But, you know, after a while, we got used to it. Then it came out with version 2 and version 3. And we kept learning and learning and learning. And now there's version 8. I mean, when does the learning stop?
Never.
Hey, that's the philosophy of life.
Exactly.
That is.
Exactly.
But anyway, you know, Mercedes has those two screens combined into one panel. So BMW is doing exactly the same thing. So the driver gets a 12.3-inch screen with some new graphics as well. Everybody else in the car gets a 14.9-inch horizontal touchscreen, which is bigger than your laptop, Rich, right? And a new UI and UX that features extensive personalization for both screens, which was a criticism of BMW that you couldn't adjust all the dials and all the fancy things.
Right.
It even has a focus mode, which removes all the unnecessary apps, navigation, music, which I guess if you're driving in a snowstorm or heavy rain, you really need to be focused on how fast you're going. There's also gallery mode, which removes most of the driving bits and adds all the unnecessary apps, navigation, and music. It also has this welcome program. So as soon as, you know, the keys in your pocket, you're 3 meters away from the car, it will wake up with a soft exterior and interior lighting patterns.
Oh,
fancy.
Mm.
Very, very cool stuff, right, guys?
Yes, like you very much.
So this whole new iDrive 8 system will debut in the new upcoming BMWs.
He's so excited.
I can tell you this now.
There's two new BMWs coming out this week. But this new iDrive system, iDrive 8, will debut in the new BMW iX, which coincidentally is now open for registration, or you can register your interest in the Malaysian website. You go to bmw.com.my and you can say whether you want one or not. But they're also revealing this new system in the all-new BMW i4 that's coming this week. And it's going to be quite an interesting package. Just not sure about how it might look. That's the thing. Anyway, let's talk about some Kias. Because Berjaya Auto Alliance, you know the brand that we were talking about, Daniel and Rich, was going to take over Peugeot. And they have, actually.
Yes.
And a few months ago, they said something about taking over part of Kia's business in Malaysia. But apparently, they are going to take the entire business in Malaysia next month. So tell us more about it, Daniel.
Okay, so, you know, we know NASA is slowly walking away from their franchise business. The reasons, we don't want to speculate or say anything. But first was Peugeot to go. And that was also, you know, happily accepted by PSA, which has an office here. Now Kia Motors, which also has an office here, has allowed Berjaya to take over what NASA has been doing for the longest time. I think for about 20 over years, they've had the Kia brand in Malaysia. They've done a very good job in bringing it right up the game. And then the last few years, they were, I would say, suffering a little bit. After sales issue, parts issue, you know, product and pricing and everything else. Heavy competition coming from all angles. So I think maybe they lost a little bit of interest. So now, Berjaya is saying, okay, we'll take on that business as well. And the funny thing is, if you think about it, Berjaya already has Mazda, Japanese, Peugeot, French, Kia, Korean, and they are also about to launch MG to Malaysia, so Chinese. So they have four countries, four brands.
That's quite extensive already, but what does this mean for Kia in Malaysia, I guess? Will we receive all the fancy cars? Will they go like the Mazda or Hyundai route where everything's CBU? Does Kia even have an assembly plant here?
They don't have an assembly plant, but it'll be easy to get that sorted out because why? Mazda is already assembling in Inokom. I don't see a reason why they can't extend that plant or, you know, build a new line there. It's whether they want to work it or not. I think it's good news for the Kia brand. I think it's good news for Kia owners in Malaysia. They've been sitting and wondering for the last 1 year what's going to happen because there was no real new model launch. And then they launched the Seltos about 8 months late. And to date, only one unit has been sold.
That's pretty insane.
Wow.
Yes. So it's good news for the Kia brand. And if you think about it, Kia has got some really nice cars, some really attractive models around the globe, which don't come to Malaysia. So this could be a resurrection of the brand if they got enough money to play initially, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of some new Kias, have you seen their new EV6?
I really like this.
Yeah, I can see this going far, very far.
I mean, it can.
Arif doesn't like it.
No, it will be able to go far, over 500 kilometers of range, but it looks like a reptile. That's how
You're scared of snakes, aren't you?
Yes.
That's what it is. See? That's all it is. You're scared of snakes.
Why wouldn't you be scared of a snake?
I don't think it looks like a reptile. Daniel, do you think it looks like a reptile?
I think it looks rather stylish. And, you know, I'm not into these electric car shapes and all that. Like the Ioniq 5, which is very loosely based, you know, similar platform and everything else, looked a little bit boring to me. I mean, it was nice, but it looked a little bit boring. But this looks a little bit more exciting. And if you notice, even though Hyundai owns Kia, Hyundai designs are never as fast forward as Kia designs. You know, take the Stinger, for example. Take the new K5. Take the new Sportage. They all look very European and very muscular, you know?
All right, let's go back to Arif. Arif, what don't you like about it? Come on.
Arif just likes BMWs, lah.
Well, I have had some questions over recently.
Don't get him into that. Come on, let's just, we know that.
But, you know, the front of the car, it kind of droops down.
Yes.
And they've removed the old classic Kia face, which is the tiger face, and called it the digital tiger face. And it's got a rear end that it looks like it's confused all the time about what it wants to be. You know, because the car is technically a crossover, but it has a higher roof line, but also kind of a wagon sort of hatchback rake to it. And then this huge light bar that goes across, downwards, upwards.
But if you look at that light bar and how it comes down at the sides above the rear wheels, and then you've got that nice line as it comes into those running boards. Come on. That's a nice piece. That's a nice.
I think the only person confused here is Arif, not the car.
I think so. And I think this is probably the first time, actually, we've disagreed on something that,
Exactly. He loves all these fast-forward modern designs, and we are the ones who are arguing with him.
Yeah.
If I wanted to buy a Korean EV, I'd buy the Ioniq 5, because it just looks better.
All right.
One man's meat is another man's fish. It's fine. That's fine.
Move on then.
Moving on. Moving on from one Korean brand to another, apparently there's been some news, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, that Hyundai's massive seven-seater SUV, the Palisade, and facelift Kona is due to be arriving soon.
Yes. Fully imported. No need to worry about local assembly. No need to wait for local assembly. No need to wait for the CKD packs to be done. Just bring the car in fully imported and Malaysians will buy. Not in huge numbers because they can't get that special pricing. But if you look at this vehicle, it looks like something which, you know, the Secret Service needs, you know?
Yeah, it's massive.
Yes.
If you don't know what the Hyundai Palisade is, it's basically a US market designed Hyundai SUV. So it's posh, you know, it's made to go against Jeep Grand Cherokee. Don't know any other American SUVs right now, but it's posh. That's all you need to know. You can also get captain chairs in the back, which means it could be a six-seater or a seven-seater. The thing is, it's bigger than a Hyundai Santa Fe, so it would likely challenge the Mazda CX-9 in Malaysia. Perhaps we price similarly, about 300,000 ringgit, which is a lot. There's some rumors.
It won't be cheap. It's fully imported, so please take note. It won't be cheap.
Yeah, and even the engine won't be cheap to run because it's a 3.8-liter V6 that's is very popular in America. 291 horsepower, 355 newton meters of torque. But I guess we will most likely get the 2.2 liter diesel that they put in the Hyundai Santa Fe, which is nice. The new Kona, however, we haven't even got accustomed to the old one yet.
Yeah, it just got launched a few months ago.
Yeah. Have you seen one on the road?
Actually, I have. I have seen a couple on the road. They didn't sell a lot, but I've seen a couple on the road.
Oh, right. It was in your garage at one time.
It was a nice red one, but I did see a yellow one and also a blue one.
Anyway, this new Kona comes with a new redesigned face. I like it quite a lot. It comes with a new engine, 2-liter four-cylinder with a CVT gearbox as well, 150-ish horsepower, enough. And they've got some updates that includes better Smart Sense safety package with some new wheels as well. And that's pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
We've got some news after that in part two, but we got to hit timestamps and everything.
We got to be on time, haven't we? Yeah. Okay, let's take a short break. We're going to take a short break with some messages right here. When we come back, a facelifted Mazda CX-3 and Proton's troubles. What could all that be about? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages on Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Cruise Control. My name's Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Arif Roos.
Over on the phone lines, we've got...
Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my.
Now, just before the break, we were speaking about the new Kona, the Palisade before that, the beautiful one that Arif doesn't like, the new EV6 from Kia, of course. Moving on to yet another, a Japanese car right now. It's the Mazda CX-3. Tell us more.
So essentially, they are launching the new CX-3 facelift, which if you've seen any new Mazda in the past 8 years, a facelift just means very little change because the car is already beautiful.
Yes.
Call me, Mazda.
But okay. He's still single.
Before you continue, okay, Richard, for yeah. you, do you think yeah. this is a good-looking car?
I do.
That's the thing. Why do you want to change it?
Wait. Okay. The only thing, you know what makes it beautiful to me?
Right.
Is that one specific color. When it's in that red color, I think it looks fantastic.
Exactly. All the Mazda vehicles on sale in this, the signature red color is so...
Yeah. But when I see it in like the kind of gray blue color, I'm not so attracted to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's because of the combination of that red with the flat black, with the graphite rims.
Yeah,
the gloss black front. You know, it's just a beautiful combination of colors put together. But anyway.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, Arif, continue.
That's something we can agree on. Anyway, this new facelift is going to be only for the Highline. So it gets a little update. Fully imported car, 131,000 ringgit, which is quite a lot. But it's fully kitted out because it is fully imported. So you still get LED lights, 18-inch wheels, roof spoiler. But it now comes with a sunroof and a new color called polymetal gray. It's quite pretty. And we saw that color when they launched the new Mazda 3. The interior, though, is where most of the updates are. So you get new interior upholstery and trim, and then you get a new 7-inch touchscreen with CarPlay and Android Auto, something they've offered maybe in the past 3 years in the new Mazda 2 as well. 360-degree camera, Mazda Connect 6 speakers, also gets updated safety systems that includes those fancy high beam control that averts the eyes, like the Perodo we talked about last week. So I guess a lot of cars are getting that.
Uh-huh.
But an essential piece of news came from Daniel, and it has to do with some Protons.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing to hear this, but there are some good reasons. Number one, Proton owners have been complaining non-stop, especially the newer cars. I'm talking about the X70 owners. Whether it's CKD or CBU, they've been complaining of after-sales issues, spare parts issues. This has been going on for some time already. And some of them have come to Facebook to communicate with us and say, because whenever we put any news up on Proton, they come back to us and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't be putting this news. Proton is not looking after its customers and blah, blah, blah. But of course, you know, with every car brand, whenever they launch something new and something very technology filled, you know, like with that infotainment system and that the talkie-talkie thing, you know, hi, Proton, you know, things can go wrong and, you know, you need to have backup service to cater to this. So it started with small issues and then it escalated to spare parts issues. And then it escalated to cars having fender bender accidents. And then when they went to replace, like, you know, bumpers and side view mirrors, you know, which is normal in Malaysia, there were no parts. And then COVID-19 came. And then there was an issue of, you know, factories being closed down in China and parts couldn't be shipped here because shipping lines were closed. And it was just, you know, one after another, one after another, one after another. So as time grew, of course, other car brands were having similar problems. But the thing is, with the Proton X70, they sold 30,000 units in Malaysia. So when you sell that kind of numbers, of course, you better be ready to accept, you know, a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you sold to a lot of middle-class people also. And I would say even people who, you know, who dreamed of owning an SUV and then they went from a $40,000, $50,000 car, they stretched their budget and they bought this vehicle. And then you bought...
So they're understandably angry.
Of course, because these are people who probably have just one or at the best two cars in their garage.
Yep.
You know, they're not rich people. And if their car is stuck, they're not going to be happy.
Yep.
And sometimes when you have these small fender benders, physically you can't drive the car, even though it looks, you know, the wheels are all on the ground, the engine can start. But you got a lot of electronic systems connected to, you know, the sensors and everything else, which will not work, like the 360 camera that's connected to the front bumper, the rear sensors, the, you know, the kick plate and everything else. So
almost as if when you start the car, everything will just ding at you.
Right. So everything just escalated. And so Proton came out with a statement saying, you know, listen, we've got some spare part issues. We've got some after sales issues. Please bear with us. But owners are not happy. Because why? There's just mounting and mounting and mounting problems. And what became worse is servicing parts were also now becoming scarce. Like when you have your scheduled service, you go in, you want to change your air filter, oil filter. Even these parts were not available. So what worried owners was, hey, would I lose my warranty if I don't service on time?
Right. Have they given any kind of timeline as to when this, you know, might kind of get back to normal?
They have not given to me, you know, they've given me some PR answer. But what I know is they've said we will not discount the warranty issue. If you have already come into service, we've recorded the fact that you've come into service and we don't have the part and we tell you, okay, you have to wait maybe another week or 2 weeks, your warranty will not be void. You won't have a problem. But my issue with this is when you're driving a brand new car, especially in the last 1 month because our weather has been so hot and you're driving it in traffic and you know, that engine is getting so hot that oil could be bubbling inside and you don't service that oil, you could have some long-term issues.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the worry.
There we go then. That's some news from Proton there, of course. We should probably move on then. We have, of course, a new car review.
Yeah, and it's about a car that I thought we reviewed, but I guess not. It's a very, very important and popular car that we've done, and it's the Honda City 1.5 iVTEC.
The reason why you thought we had reviewed this car is because this car was actually launched about a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
And it was launched, and then immediately there was a lockdown, and they couldn't give us a test car, and you know the Honda Malaysia office had to be closed for the lockdown. And the cars were stuck in their car park and they couldn't get it sanitized to give it to us to test drive. And also a lot of us, because we were out of the driving range to go and pick up the car from their car park because, you know, of the 10-kilometer range.
Yeah.
So we couldn't pick up the car. So finally now, when lockdown is over, they called us up. They said, please, quickly, quickly come, get the car, test drive it. So we picked it up, we test drove it, and we realized what we've been missing out on. Now, I'm not saying this is like the best thing since sliced bread, but from the fourth generation Honda City to this generation, there is a considerable leap in terms of features, build quality, and of course, looks. I love the looks of this car simply because it doesn't look like a Honda anymore.
It looks like it glowed up. It got really, you know, it's 27 years old. It got a new job. It's professional.
Yes. No, it's growing.
Can I respectfully disagree?
What?
Well, you know, I know you like BMW, so you of course you're not going to disagree. Okay, tell us, Richard, tell us.
No, I just, Honda, these Honda cities, I don't think it looks any different to the other Honda cities. I don't, I'm sorry.
Really?
Really. I don't see any huge difference at all. Do I need new glasses or what?
No, I think you need to get some dinner, love, because it's late. it's 8-something, it's late. You don't need to get some dinner.
That could be it, No, anyway, please, carry on.
So it's to me, it was a very interesting car because, first of all, why I say different than most Hondas, because long time ago, Hondas were very simple, very stylish, very European in its presentation. And then over the last few years, maybe over the last decade, all Hondas became very, maybe they wanted a unique design, but to me, it didn't cater to my need. Maybe it catered to the younger generation. Like the current Honda Civic, the first batch of it, which had a lot of chrome on it, a lot of angles, a lot of lines, didn't quite like it. But when they came up with the facelift, with, you know, darkened, removed all the chrome. I mean, I don't like a lot of shiny bits on cars, you know what I mean? So with this car, so same thing. They took away a lot of shiny bits. And then if you come inside, you look at the dashboard is simple, it's straightforward. Nice, clear, legible meter cluster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Climate control, 3 rotary knobs. They look like they came out of a high-tech British hi-fi system, you know? Not some slider controls or some fancy push button. Nice aircon vent. Okay, yes, you got that center entertainment system that's, you know, you have it in all cars right now. And then that driver's seat. For once, a car company in this range has given a really big, comfortable, with a huge headrest, driver's seat and front passenger seat, you know?
Yeah, for once it doesn't look like something you would bring to a war.
Yes, you know?
It's called bolstering.
Yeah.
So, you know, for older people like me, we like comfortable seats. You know, we've got bad backs, you know, lower bad back problem, you know, shoulder blade problem. Anyway, so we got in the car, we started it up. There's a revised Ivy Tech engine. It starts very, very quiet. The insulation is much better in this car. As you get going, you realize that 1.5, window is just over 120 horsepower. It's more than enough power. Rear seat comfort. Richard can sit in the back comfortably. I mean, Richard is a tall man, you know?
Yeah, 8 feet tall.
Yeah, 8'9", thank you. 8 feet nine.
And then you got a decent amount of luggage room at the back. You can put in a lot of bags. So I think it's a well-portioned car because the previous cities tend to be like, you know, the front was like a beak and then the back was like a larger, it wasn't in proportion. That's the right word I'm looking for. So this car is all in proportions. It's nice. I think it's a nice, clean design. That's all.
They've definitely taken more care in the design rather than, you know, because it feels like 10 years ago, all of these small cars were more afterthoughts.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, I want to build a product that's going to take over the world.
Yeah.
It's more of like, we've got a market that demands these small cars. Let's just throw something on there.
Yeah.
It's very nice, despite what Richard says.
No, come on.
So I managed to get the whole family in the car. We went for a drive. Comfortable. 3 in the back, 2 teenagers and an adult in the back, 2 of us in front. We went up to 110 kilometers an hour. There's less tire roar coming in. So they've used better tire quality, better tire brand, I would say, you know. Less noise coming into the cabin, which is very important for people in this segment because, you know, sometimes people say, you know, oh, I hear too much tire roar and my sound system, I need to put it up, you know, things like that. So overall, a much better quality car. A more refined engine, better space. I would say they've taken the interior to look more European.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. Of course, if some people don't like this very European look in terms of the interior, this minimalistic, I would say, you know, in terms of rotary knobs and simple meter cluster. But we like it. Our age group, we like it. And then you realize from the time they launched the car, they had 9,000 bookings in the first month. By the second month, it was up to 11,000. Today, they've got 13,000 bookings. So I think I'm not just the only old guy here who, you know, likes this.
I think you might be branding this car as kind of an old people car. Well, but it isn't. I like it very much.
Okay, well, you know, yeah. Well, you're getting older. You're getting more.
Look, I'm not saying I dislike it, right? Okay, stop putting me on the spot. I'm just saying.
It's not to your taste.
Exactly. It's a good-looking car. Inside looks great. I like the minimalist look of it. You know, it's just that I don't feel as though the outside speaks to me so much. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah. Arif could have his snake comment.
Rich is giving me the eye. I do want to ask you something, though, Daniel, because there's going to be a hatchback version that's going to come out, and I'm not convinced about that because that seems, like we said, more of an afterthought than, you know, the City is a sedan. If you wanted the hatchback back then, you bought a Jazz.
Right.
But now the Jazz might not even be coming, so now we get a Honda City hatchback. So what, you know, what's your thoughts on these two cars?
You mean between the Jazz and the City?
The City and the City hatchback.
Oh, the City and the City hatchback.
Yeah, because that's about to arrive soon, I guess. Yeah,
well, I think the City hatchback will just be a car with more space. And with the City hatchback coming, I think there's going to be a problem with people wanting to accept the Jazz.
Yeah.
Because the City hatchback, you know, the price cannot be so much different than the Jazz. And then the Jazz is not exactly as big as the City hatchback, if my understanding is correct in terms of dimensions. Okay, the new Honda Jazz has got a little bit of a quirky look, you know?
Yeah.
So it's either you love it or you're not so taken by it. I think it's quite an attractive car because it's something, again, totally different from what Honda has delivered before in terms of what the Jazz looks like. But some people will say, oh, no, I prefer that old look. I like that, you know, that very Japanese funky look. You know, this is more like retro a little bit.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So it's about taste. And, you know, taste evolves. Like some people say, okay, like I remember some people saying that the new BMW steering wheels, they're not as nice as the older steering wheel. But some people love it.
Sorry, we were talking about the BMW steering wheel just now before the show began.
Let's just say it's a divisive topic.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that.
So anyway, overall, the Civic VTEC, VTEC was actually, I think, was an impressive new product. Pricing is just about right. Equipment level, very good. Safety equipment, very good. And then now it comes, you know, the V-Spec that I test drove comes with lane watch, comes with a whole suite of safety features. So this really puts the car up against the rivals in a big way.
I have another question.
Okay.
You know, they've launched the EHEV version of the City.
Oh, nice.
What are you thinking about that compared to, I guess, the regular one? Will people make that jump or will they stick with the old reliable?
I think general public will have a little bit of, they'll need a bit of time to move up to the City RS. Number one, the price is almost 15,000, 16,000 more.
Yeah.
Number two, that's a whole new different technology running. You know, it's more like an electric car with a generator pushing it.
Yeah.
So a bit difficult. And you know, that price point, you got so many other vehicles in that segment. At 105,000 ringgit, you got so many other vehicles there. This one, at 85,000 ringgit for the highest spec version, it's easy to swallow for a lot of middle-class Malaysians.
All right, we're going to wrap up on the car review, though, but do stick around because Daniel will be sat talking to somebody else. What are you talking about, Daniel?
We are talking about high-quality window film and high-quality protective film.
And he'll be talking to Mr. David Lee, CEO of Jasa Serjanis. Really quite an interesting product. And it has a Greek name, even though it's Japanese.
Wow. Stay tuned. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.